We are finishing this week, much to the applause and the excitement of some of you. We're finishing this week our series on money that we've called Paycheck to Paycheck. And these last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the idea that our past experiences, how we grew up, how our families spent money, our past experiences led us to our current view of money, right? I mean, how it was spent and what we know personally and what our family knew. Our past has led us to our current viewpoint, and society and culture has had an influence on our spending and on our gathering and what we need. And it was after that message, I had a guy in our church send me a picture. We have similar taste in things, and we also have similar bank accounts, so what we want is stuff we can't afford. And he sent me a picture of a pair of Oakleys and said, "Aren't these sweet?" And I researched them. They were $600. But I was reading the thing. And, you know, we talked in week two about how advertisers are not appealing to our physical needs. They're appealing to our emotional draw, that if we owned it, we'd feel better or look better or be a better person. And this whole thing on the Oakley website convincing me to buy these $600 glasses was convincing me, no kidding, it had lines in there about how, yes, they're expensive, but when you have these, when you enter the crowd, everybody will know you're better than they are. That's essentially what the whole thing said. It didn't tell me what it was made of. It didn't tell me what kind of materials. It told me that when I had those glasses, when I walked into the crowd, I would literally, everybody around me would know. So they're on order, and they'll be here. I'm kidding. But our society, right, our culture has influenced what we need and our spending and our gathering. And then we've talked about how our view of God, that leads us to how we spend our money. And our attitude about God affects how we use our money. And every dollar, Pastor Mike made a statement that I thought was incredible to lead us into our final week, that every dollar could be a demon or it could be redeemed. And I just thought that was a great statement. I mean, money by itself is not bad or good. It's lifeless. I mean, it's kind of a dead object. That money by itself is just kind of a dormant thing. How we spend it, how we save it, how we give it, it's all about our attitude towards the money, and our attitude's determined by our past, by our experiences, by our culture, by our beliefs, by our faith. And so this week we're going to answer some questions about money, because we've been talking about spending, saving, providing, all those things, our attitude towards money. This week we're going to talk about giving. We're going to talk about generosity, sharing, and giving, and answering the question of why should I give money to God? And why should I give to God? And if I'm going to give to God, how do I give it to God? And how do I give it to God? Because we talked in the first few weeks, you don't get money by sitting in the field. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And what does that mean? Don't worry about tomorrow. Does that mean we sit in the field and say, God, I'll sit here until you give me money? And we wait for him to make it rain up in here. Like, do we, or do, right? We, some of you are hip enough to get that, and the other, like, rain. We sit. Do we sit and wait for it? No. He's given us common sense and abilities to go out and get. And so how do I give it to God? We don't reach in and pull out and wait for him to take it. Well, I guess he didn't need that dollar. You know, like, how then? If I decide that I should give to God, how then? And then the big question is we always get is how much? How much should I give to God? Well, I want us to look at an example from the children of Israel. And this is a good example. And we give the children of Israel a hard time, don't we? For good reason, don't get me wrong. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw the locusts, the frogs, the boils, the firstborn. So they saw all the plagues. They were delivered from Pharaoh, and they get out there, and what'd they say to Moses? Just send us back. We'd rather go back into slavery than walk through this wilderness. And then they missed the promised land, and all these, they complained and they griped. And we give them a hard time for good reason. But the reality is, at this moment, we have this great example about giving when we're talking about giving. And I want us to pull some key points from the past, the way, way back past, to help us understand our mindset for where we are today. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35, we'll start in verse 4. And Moses has gathered everybody together. He's just given them the speech on the taking a Sabbath, working six and resting on one. And, you know, they've gotten past the whole, you know, the Ten Commandments, and then they've built the golden statue, and they worshiped it, and Moses broke it, and they had to reorder a second copy of the Ten Commandments, right? And we've gotten past all that. Are y'all with me? We've gotten through all that. And now he's gathered them all together. And Moses, in verse 4, Exodus 35, verse 4, then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, this is what the Lord has commanded. I want you to see that. Who's there? The whole community, right? And he says, take a sacred offering for the Lord, and let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord. Gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat hair, tanned ram skins, fine goatskin leather, acacia wood, olive oil, the lamps, spices, anointing oil, fragrant incense, onyx stones, and other gemstones to be set in the ephod of the priest's chest piece. Let's look at the verse in depth. I flew through that last part because, I mean, they're all good stuff. We don't need those these days, but this was kind of a specific thing. But here's what I want you to see. Look specifically with me at verse 5, and I want you to understand and see this, all right? The people have already faithfully given through their ceremonies, through their sacrifices, through their rituals. The people have already faithfully given. There's not a lack of giving here. This is not people who are not giving anything. They've already faithfully given. They've already done what they're supposed to do through their festivals and their ceremonies. This was to be more than the tithe. This was to be more than what was already required of them. This was above and beyond the minimum gift. And if you look at the wording, it says, those with generous hearts. You see it. Take a sacred offering for the Lord and let those with generous hearts present the following gifts. And I want you to see that. Giving, before we go any further, I wanted this to be clear. Giving, sharing, supporting, whether it be the church or Red Cross or your nephew who's doing a fundraiser, generosity in general is a heart issue. It's an attitude issue. It's the issue that comes from within. It's not the money itself. It's the attitude about the money. And so he says, let those with generous hearts, all right? Look at verse 10 then. He moves on. Verse 10 says, come all you who are gifted craftsmen, construct everything that the Lord has commanded. We see the other side of our giving here. Right? And the other side of our giving is we use our resources. He says, bring the stuff. There were people who were bringing monetary stuff. There were people who were bringing fabrics. There were people who were bringing oils and spices. But everybody was bringing their resources based on what they had. And then he says, and all you who are gifted, you come and you bring that to construct everything. So we give our resources and we give our talents. We give our skills. Giving is all about building and advancing the kingdom of God. So why should we give to God? That's the question. Why should we give to God? Well, watch. Giving to God is simply this. Using what you have in order to see God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's joy and God's hope and God's peace to see those things advance and do work here on earth. That's why we give. We give in order that the kingdom of God can be advanced here on earth. We use what we have so that God's kingdom can be advanced. And that's our money. It's our stuff. It's our resources. It's also our talents and our skills. And so when you take your money and you add it to your skills and your talents, it equals forward movement. But if you can't exclude those things. You can't separate those things. The two together equal forward movement. Remove either part of that equation, And movement stops. You with me? And so we've heard the command. God gave a command. He said that those with generous hearts, let them come back and bring the stuff. And he commanded, and those of you who have skills, come back and use them. Right? So that's the command. Let's look at how the people respond. Look at verse 20 with me. Verse 20 says, the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. Who heard the command? The whole community, right? The very first part says the whole community heard. He gathered them. And then he says the whole community left. But watch. And this is something I promise you. It wasn't until the 10th time that this even stuck out to me. So I want to explain it to you so you don't have to read it 10 times like me. You can go home and look it back over. Verse 21. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. Who came back? All whose? All whose hearts were stirred. The whole community heard it. We just made that really interesting. It was like a round. It was like, hearts were stirred. Right? This side, do row, row, row your boat. Start right here, and then we'll go. That was good. It was good influence. That was good input from every side of the room. It was good. The whole community heard the command. The whole community left. And I read it and thought, awesome, and they all came back. They all brought stuff. That's not what it says. Read it. It says, all whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offering to the Lord. Guess what? Not everybody came back. I mean, I have to read that for what it says. I don't think everybody came back. There was a secret to those who came back. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offering. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, for the sacred garments, men and women. Listen, all whose hearts were willing, they brought to the Lord their offerings of gold. I messed this one up in the first service too. Brooches. I don't know what that. That's, I know what britches are. That's exactly what I said in the first service. I know what britches are. I got them on right now. I know what britches are. Brooches are apparently something very fancy in French they had in the nation of Israel. Earrings, rings from the fingers and the necklace. They presented gold objects. All those who owned the following items, verse 23, watch, they willingly brought them. They brought everything, the thread, the oils, the fragrances, the wood, the everything they needed, the tanned goat hides, everything they needed, the jewels, the gold, the silver, they brought them all. And skip with me to verse 29. Verse 29 says, so the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work of the Lord had given them through Moses, brought their gifts and gave them freely to the Lord. Did everyone participate? No. All whose hearts and spirits were stirred, they all heard it. The entire community heard it. We don't know how many. It could have been 98% of them. I don't know. It just says all whose hearts were stirred. It denotes them as maybe some stayed in their tents. But all whose hearts were stirred were so willing and so eager to help. And then the work begins. And those who are skilled begin sewing and building and constructing. And look what happens at the end of the story. And go to Exodus chapter 36. Now jump ahead to chapter 36, verse 3. It says, Moses gave them the materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offering for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continued to bring additional gifts each morning. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work, and they went to Moses and reported, the people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave the command, and this message was sent throughout the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. Verse 7, their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. What an awesome problem to have. I know a lot of pastor friends, and I've served in a lot of churches. Never once, not one of them, do I talk to, and I'm like, how are things going at the church, man? I'm like, oh, it's terrible. We got too much money, too many volunteers, too much space. These people won't quit bringing stuff. I'm willing to attempt to see if I could live with that problem. Nobody has this problem. And Moses did, and it says that they had too much. And he had to tell them to stop. The people gave their money. They gave their resources. They gave their stuff. And they gave their talents. And I want you to see that giving your resources is not an excuse to not use your talents. But using your talents is not an excuse to not give your money. There's an equation to this. The equation is that we bring our resources and our skills, and then we see the kingdom of God advanced. And the question is, then, how do we give to God? How do I give to God? Why do I give to God? It's because our giving, our generosity is what we're to advance the kingdom. So how then? How do I give to God? Well, one way is we've set up online giving at allstruckchurch.com. You could try that. I'm kind of kidding, kind of serious. You can always try that, right? Yeah, there you go. Look at that. That's pretty good. Thanks, Holly. That was queued up. That was good. I'm joking kind of about that, but you can do that now. How then? How do I give to God? I mean, obviously, we pass the bucket. You give online, and you can give to the church. But how do I give to God? This is the bigger issue. It's bigger than the church, I think. How do I give to God? Here's what happens. We bring all the things that we have, resources, money, time. Sacrificially, we bring what we have. What I have and what you have combines, it becomes what we have. And when these things combine with others, together we start seeing these amazing things happen in our place of worship, in our community of worship of Allstruck, in our community that surrounds our place of worship, in our city, the city of Greensboro and McLeansville and Gibsonville and the surrounding areas in our United States. I mean, we're talking Oklahoma tragedy, right? And we're talking supporting the Oklahoma tragedy via a song that's being released by the band. And so we together come together collectively and we start seeing amazing things happen. Start seeing amazing things happen because we give. How do I give? I bring everything I have. God's plan to see His kingdom advance is through the generosity of believers, period. Through the generosity of His believers, this is how He's to see the kingdom advance. And it says, those whose hearts were stirred. Those whose hearts were stirred. When God stirs your heart, then we give. And maybe you say, well, my heart's not been stirred. Here's the question, why not? And this is a heart issue. We said it up front. It's not a money issue. It's not how much you make or don't make. It's a heart issue. It's an attitude issue. If your heart is not stirred, then why not? In very first week, we talked about our attitude about money and how money exposes our character. It exposes who we really are. It's the one addiction in life that none of us can avoid. An addiction is simply when you can't quit. You like a little bit of it, you need more of it. Money is the addiction that has us all wrapped. Me and you and every one of us, because if it got taken away from you, you'd go through major detox, wouldn't you? You would need more of it. You got to have more money. But what we do with it and how we use it, it exposes our character. It rips us open. And I grew up in church, and I was a pastor's kid, so I was saved at 7. I was nearly an alcoholic by 19. I was in ministry by 20. This is my story. I've been in 4 different churches in 3 or 4 different roles. I've seen the whole church game and the whole Christianity game from the inside and the outside, from the top and the bottom. I've seen it. And here's what I know about our Christianity. In our Christianity, in our relationship with God, we can fake our depth in a lot of areas. So when I talk about your commitment to God, there's a lot of things that we can fake and fool our ways through. And people will go, that guy, that girl loves Jesus. We can fake those. I've done it, I lived it, and I've watched it. The reality is, when it comes to our finances, you can't fake it. I mean, you either do or you don't. There is no in between. You either give or you don't. You're either generous or you're stingy. Money exposes us. It exposes me. It exposes you. It rips us open and exposes our character. That's why people don't like to talk about it. Because now all of a sudden we got to get honest. And the reality is that money and finances is this one thing, man, that you cannot fake. How you spend, how you save, how you give, it has nothing to do with the money. It has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with your attitude about money. And ultimately, our attitude about money and everything else in life, especially money, it has to be filtered through that lens of our love and our devotion to God. And how we spend our money has to be filtered through our devotion to God. Because money's an awesome tool. I mean, we've seen people just get on airplanes and go on mission trips because of money. People funded them and furthered the kingdom, and people in tribes in third world countries that had never even heard English, much less the gospel, are receiving Bibles. You know why? Because of money. Money is a tool that can be used to further the kingdom of God, but money is also something that can be used to destroy you personally. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and destruction follows the love of money. So money can be used some of the greatest, but it can also be used for the destruction, and we've got to change our attitude, right? We change our attitude. We become content with what we need. We have an understanding that every dollar can be redeemed or it can be destructive. And at that point, we get freed up. We're freed up to be a blessing. I think as Dave Ramsey said, we'll either control our money or money will control us, right? The new pope, and this is, we have a few friends who grew up Catholic in the first service, and this was a shout out to them. And so any of you who grew up Catholic or some of my friends who listen to the podcast, the new Pope Francis, who I'm actually a fan of, I really like everything I'm reading about the new Pope. But he had a quote that hit newspapers and news headlines a couple weeks ago. He said this about money. He was talking about ministering to and taking care of the poor. in our communities. He says, money has to serve, not to rule. Hear it again. Money has to serve, not to rule. And so how do I give? I've got to change my attitude that I'm going to combine what I have with everybody else to see the advancement. So why do I give? How do I give? I'm giving everything that I am. Here's the final question. How much should I give? And this is the one that everybody wants the clear answer to. I wish I had a handout as you walked out the door so I could say, you make this much a year, this much is what the Bible says, this much is your tithe, this much is your offering. If you want to be a really good Christian, you'd go to this percentage. I can't find that in Scripture. I mean, I really can't. There is no handout. There's no handout that says, break down your income via this, right? And this is the unfortunate thing. It's the great thing and the unfortunate thing that, like the answer to how I give and why should I give, it falls into this personal category of heart. It falls into this personal category of attitude. Because, I mean, Pastor Mike, about a year ago, he did this awesome message on tithing and the origin of tithing, and it's worth going back and finding. He can tell you what the name of it was exactly. We can find it, maybe put a link up on our Facebook page. But, I mean, essentially, scripturally, tithing is a matter of if you go and steal food from your neighbor's house, give at least 10% of it to somebody else. And that's no joke. It's in the Bible. Most everything the Bible talks about with tithing, when we see it referenced, is talking about food, not finances. It's talking about flocks, not finances. So this concept of tithing, 10%, was it really, we've applied it to some things that it should have never applied to. Are you with me? And that's all biblical. I'm not being heretical up here. I'm telling you what the Bible says, not what you've been taught in Sunday school. It's scripturally, the tithe itself, the 10%, is a great starting point. It's a great rule of thumb. But biblically, we've given it a lot more. We've given it a lot more weight than it really ever meant to have. It's there. And if you want to have that argument later, find Pastor Mike. He loves to talk about stuff like that. But it's really there. It's really there. Yeah, go get Mike. He loves that. But this idea of how much should I give, it's a heart issue. So watch this as we finish. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, says, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the box. And then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, the poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. Now, let's stop. I want you to understand the scene. Jesus is watching them drop their money in the box, okay? I've seen this described in some of the teachings I've seen on this. This was not been, like, we wouldn't have passed it like you just did. We passed it, you dropped it. We had checks. They would have dropped heavy stuff on purpose. And so, and they would have, people would have been counting, right? So the guys come up in their fancy robes, their fancy getup. They come walking around. They're doing all their deal. The bucket would have been there, and they would have walked up to the front, and they would have made a scene, right? So they'd have, like, had their deal, you know, like trash can, right? And they'd have had, so they'd have come around, and they would have made sure everybody saw them, and they'd have greeted people. A lot of noise, you know, like one. Right? Are you with me? I mean, like, you know, hey, two. And so it almost like, hey, everybody, listen, I'm still giving. They'd have made a scene about it. So what he's saying is Jesus is watching these guys arrogantly come and drop money into a bucket so that everybody in there would think how godly they were. You got a picture in your head? It's not the quiet, oh, to Jesus, I surrender, right? And you're like sneaking it in. And if you don't have something, you're like pretending, like, I got it. Right? This is a show, you know? This is a show of, I have more than you. Look how much I am giving. I am wealthy and I love God more than you, because clang and cha-ching, and they would have counted the cha-chings every time it went in. And so Jesus is watching. There has to be something about this scene that disturbs Jesus to a point that he makes a comment. And this lady comes up, probably humbly, quietly, towards the end so that nobody can see her, because she can't make cha-chings and she can't make the clang, and she's not dressed as nicely. And so she comes to the front, probably hoping nobody would see her, and she drops in two coins, and then Jesus responds. And Jesus said, those guys who are making a big show of it, those guys who are making a big deal of how much they love God because they give, And then there's this lady who's given nothing compared to the rest of them. He said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow, verse 3, this poor widow has given more than all of the rest of them. Here's why. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. Hear that. They have given a tiny part of their surplus. I don't know. Let's put a number on that. 10%? They kept 90. They gave 10. They have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. How much should we give? The tiny surplus or everything that we are? I think we first have to ask the question, has my heart been stirred by God? And if you would say, no, my heart has not been stirred, let me make this a promise to you. This is a personal thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a relationship with God thing. It has so little to do with money and more to do with your relationship with Christ. If your heart has not been stirred, it's not because God isn't standing there with the big wooden spoon waiting to stir it up. That's a picture for you, isn't it? He's standing and he's waiting to stir. He really is. It's a matter of, have you opened your heart to be stirred? See, because the entire community heard the challenge. But only those whose hearts were stirred, only those with generous hearts came back. God is waiting to stir. And when your hearts are stirred by God, then we give. We give generously. We give eagerly. And the issue will never be about how much. It's never about the amount of money. It's always about the amount of heart, the amount of devotion to God that's in your gift. So for the widow, she gave everything she had. I don't think it was everything she had. Jesus was making a statement. She has nothing. She just put it in the bucket. Those guys gave a tiny percentage of their wealth. When you ask, how much should I give? That answer can only come between you and God. It really can. It can only come between you and God, but I'll caution you to ask him because there's answers in Scripture. And never once did Jesus say less. Never once did Jesus say less. When God commanded or spoke of giving, when Jesus taught on giving or used examples like this widow, he always said, give all. I want everything. If the example he gave us to follow in our Christian walk was Jesus Christ, what did Jesus give up? Everything. And so the question then, it becomes some will give all, some will give none, but the question is my heart been stirred? And if so, how much should I give? This is a personal issue. It's a spiritual issue. As we finish, because I'm done. You can all take a deep breath now. I'm kind of done. This week, we were sitting at a staff meeting Wednesday and talking about money and different things and giving and the church and just a lot that's going on, has gone on and is going on in the future. And I just started kind of writing down my heart. I mean, we'll be 5 years old in September. Isn't that crazy? I mean, 6 years ago, we started sitting around my house. And we have a few remaining members of those who came to my house for free dinner. If you came for nothing else, you came for free dinner every Wednesday night. And there was about 8 or 10 of us at the most. And we just sat around my living room. And 5 years in September, we'll celebrate our fifth-year anniversary. We're not quite old enough to call it homecoming yet. I don't know what age we have to get to call it homecoming. Okay, well, there we go. So homecoming anniversary, there you go. And we're talking about the church and where we are and where we've been. You know, here's the thing about Awestruck. We started, even sitting around my neighborhood, sitting around my living room in my neighborhood with this whole idea that, man, let's try to give away more than we keep. I mean, I've always had this mindset. I've always told people, it gets me in trouble, that we're racing God to zero and I keep losing. Every time I say we're going to spend every last dime to help whoever needs help and support whatever needs help, we race God to zero and it never happens. He wins every time. We've had a giving nature from that moment that we started sitting around my living room. From the moment we launched our first service, we're supporting new churches. Do you guys realize, those of you who tithe and have been, we have a church in Boston that we help support. They went to one of the most lost, unchurched areas in our whole United States to a point that he had curses put on him, and the occult came and performed rituals on his front porch. My buddy's name is Matt Tuning. They've seen over 100 people baptized in the first 2 years. Incredible. Your tithes and your offering are part of that. One day you get to heaven And there's, like, we have a, our hands in that. There's guys as close as Southeast High School that we help support in a church. E.J. Rouse over at Bridgepoint. We've been a part in them. We've got a guy in Concord, Kannapolis. We've got people everywhere. I met with a guy Wednesday night who's getting ready to go out to Colorado. Wouldn't that be an awesome calling on your life to go and just hike mountains and start a church? Wouldn't that be cool? And I met with a guy. We support an organization monthly that is helping guys go and start churches all over the United States. Your tithe, your offering does that. Why? Because it comes in and then it goes right back out to help start new churches who reach new people. Hundreds are being saved and baptized in the United States because of this church, because of what's given in. Right? So we help them to start new churches. We support missionaries. We support missions. We support community outreach. We afford and pay for community events. You know, inflatables aren't free. I wish they were. It'd be awesome. But everything we do costs money. And so the community outreach, the community events, either here on our property or at Reedy Ford Ranch, we support the ministry to your kids in the back. That costs money. I don't know if y'all don't feed them breakfast or they're just choosing to not eat lunch, but them little youngins, they're expensive and hungry when they get back there, right? Curriculum and props and everything. We support your coffee addiction every Sunday. You're welcome, right? Like, we never charge for a cup of coffee at Allstruck. It's kind of who we are. We want you to come, be comfortable, and hang out. We support needs. We meet needs. People come with needs and we meet them. Sometimes we have it, sometimes we don't. We've come to you guys and said, hey, we need extra money this week. And you've all stepped up. We've helped keep people in their homes. And it's because of this attitude that we're going to give it away. I mean, we're also saving. We're preparing for the future. And the coolest thing is the more we try to race God to zero, the more our savings goes up. You want to see our financial statements? They're wide open. We'll be more than happy to show you. See Pastor Mike on those too. Right, but they're there. I mean, we're an open book. We don't have business meetings because we feel like if you keep giving, you trust us. Right? And that's kind of how you vote. You show up and give, you agree. You voted aye. You stop coming and stop giving, you voted no. Good luck. We'll see you around, I guess. Because we feel like there's this thing. We're an open book, but we're also, you know, we're trying to establish a trust that that's who we are as a church. And we pay a staff, finally. Amen, Tyler? We finally pay a staff. Not a whole lot, but we pay. But you know what's been cool to me? And I've never gone to our staff and said, you're going to get a pay increase and to a point that just your cost of living is going to finally be met. Never once have I said, but I expect you to tithe more to the church. And we've seen giving go up in an incredible way. So it's like the staff, the more we get, the more we're set up to give. This year, before any of this money talk came up, we actually started discussing a new goal. And the new goal for each staff member was to give more than we've ever given, to challenge ourselves to go further than we've ever gone. None of you knew about that. None of you asked. And if we weren't talking about money, it wouldn't matter. I'd never tell you. It's not a brag on us. It's just the heart of who we are. It's what we do as a church. And so we give away and we use what we have as to be a blessing. This is the heart of Allstruck. Do I want a new building? Absolutely. Some would even say we need a new building. Do you know how much fun we could have if we had a gym? We could sponsor the Corey Muirhead summer basketball camp, right? I mean, and you'd have to rent the facilities, of course, but we'd have it and we'd be there. Right? I mean, we would have all this stuff going on. We had a gym. Imagine how many more people. Somebody the other day, I was talking to a spiritual mentor, and they said, however many seats you have in your church, that's how many people you have. God has his hand on your church, and however many seats you have, that's how God's going to bless your church. Could we reach more people? We could. Do we want a new building? Absolutely. Also, the band has written like 600 and some new songs. They're ready to produce a new CD. They're ready to do that. We got songs, we got the talent. We'd love to be able to better accommodate our kids. They're all in 10 by 10 rooms. Easter weekend, on two different occasions, there were almost 20 elementary school kids in one 10 by 10 room. I heard about it. Still hearing about it. My wife was the teacher. It was brutal. We would love to accommodate our kids better. We'd love to have a sound system, a speaker that's not busted, right? A sound system. I'd love to have an office. It would be great. And selfishly, there's all these things that we could justify, but the reality is we just keep giving money away. We keep meeting needs. We keep impacting a community, people outside of our church. Why? Why would we take the money we could raise to produce a new CD and give it to the Thomasville Children's Home and the second one that's just been released? Why would that money go to the Oklahoma victims? Why? Not because I, as a pastor, told Tyler, but because this is the heart of who we are. This is the heart of the church that we become. People will never meet or being impacted because of generosity. And it takes money. And people are doing these things. So why are we doing that? It's an attitude. It's a heart to advance the kingdom and quit worrying about how big our own personal castle is. This is how we're built. And these money talks aren't just something to try to increase our offering. I promise. A lot of churches give them. They hope the offering goes up. They usually fail. If our offering goes up or down, it doesn't matter. It does. What would be awesome if the offering went up, not because of me saying it or Mike saying it, but because there's generosity, because God stirs your heart, generosity comes, and the money goes up, that's great. But the reality is, it's not what this is about. These talks about money, and I promise you this, and we don't discuss this a lot, these talks about money are something that we, the leadership, the staff of this church, we've been living personally for a long, long time. We're not teaching them to you. These are our biblical viewpoints about saving and spending and gathering and providing and giving and being generous. This is how we live our life. This is how we run the daily operations of our church, is based on these principles we've been teaching the past 4 weeks. It's who we are. And so this biblical look at how we spend, how we save, how we give, our generosity, our character with money. And I know I've shared my heart a lot, and I'm over time. And that's, well, you don't have anywhere to be. It's Memorial Day weekend. You're off tomorrow. The reality is, man, as we speak these things, our prayer, my prayer is that God would stir your heart. That's the thing that has stood out for us all month, especially in this passage in Exodus. That those who have generous hearts, those whose hearts were stirred, they came back and they went above and beyond and they gave everything they had and they supplied their talents, their resources, their time sacrificially. And our prayer is that, and your hearts would be stirred, not because you feel guilty. Hear me. Although if you feel guilty, we'll take your guilt money and your lottery money and everything. I mean, we don't judge the gift, just the giver. Right? Some of you hadn't laughed. You have no idea that's my sense of humor. Like, I'm just good. Some of you are not coming back because you're like, that guy is greedy. Only with my own money, not the church's. Hear me. That God would stir your heart. Because it wasn't what Moses said. It wasn't how Moses said it. It wasn't where Moses said it. It was the fact that he spoke, and those who were willing to be open to it, God stirred their hearts. God stirred their spirits, and because of what God did in their life, they came back with the generosity. Our prayers, God would stir your hearts, that you would allow God to be a blessing to your finances as you begin to trust Him more and more for your own personal future. That's our prayer. Let's pray.